You're listening to DraftKings Network.
This Friday, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes! The Vanderkoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. In theaters Friday. Rated R.
Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere. Like when your fantasy league meets up at your house. Everything's great until the hot plate gets too hot for the tablecloth. Now your kitchen's up in smoke. And if you don't have the right home insurance coverage, the cost to fix this is anything but a fantasy. So switch to Allstate, save money, and get protected from mayhem like this. Not available in every state. Based on coverage selected, subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Savings vary.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
For all the shitty jobs that we have given Mike Schur around here as Meadowlark intern and as person who's chasing down stats and Sacramento Kings, I don't think we have suffered a greater indignity to this man's great career than yesterday bumping him because we had to talk to John Jaso. I think it's something that should be insulting to him. He should be hurt by that. It broke a streak of him appearing on consecutive shows without being suspended. There was no reason yesterday other than John Jaso. We had to make time for him.
Well, Jaso's hair, and I guarantee you the name Jaso, John Jaso, makes Mike smile. I guarantee you.
It was an honor. Don't think for one second that I was upset by any aspect of that. It was a true honor to be bumped for John Jaso.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's do the stat of the day here. He's been percolating on it, letting it marinate here for a couple of days. It should be a good one.
Stat of the day. It is the stat of the day. Stat of the day. It is the stat of the day. Stat of the day. It is the stat of the day. Start of the day. It is the start of the day.
Today's stat of the day is brought to you by Venmo. Your money, your move.
So happy to have a new sponsor. Really delights me. And thank you for turning on original sound so I can hear the music. Folks, as the world waits with bated breath for Aaron Rodgers' decision, you might think that Stugatz and other Jets fans are overexcited for the prospect of a 39-year-old Aaron Rodgers, but for the record, last year I think we can all agree Rodgers had a down year. He threw for 3,695 yards, 26 touchdowns, had a 91.1 passer rating. The Jets have never had that from a quarterback ever once in any season. In 2014, Rodgers played in 9 games, threw for 2,536 yards, 17 TDs, had a 104.9 rating. Jets have never had that in a season. In his rookie year, he threw for 4,038 yards and 28 TDs. Jets have never had that in a season. The other lowest rated year was 2015. He threw for 31 TDs, a 92.7 rating. That same year, Fitzmagic threw for 31 TDs for the Jets, which is their all-time single-season record for touchdowns in a season. In fact, the Jets have never had a quarterback throw for 3,000 yards, 25 TDs, and had a 90 rating. So basically, every single year that Aaron Rodgers has played football, he has been as good or better than every single year the Jets have had a quarterback play football for them.
This brings up something that Chris Cody has been talking about recently. He says something has to happen that I'm sure Stugatz is going to be good with.
Stugatz, you cool with Aaron Rodgers wearing number 12? You think Joe Namath is cool with this? What's going to happen with the number 12 if they sign him?
If Namath gets in the way, Namath is dead to me. I mean, seriously, get out of here.
What would Aaron wear if he didn't wear 12?
He'll wear 12.
Really?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. I think you could pick another number. No, it's a retired number.
Joe's already on record saying he's good with Aaron wearing number 12. Okay. So I'm not concerned about it.
Okay.
I'm concerned about it.
But dead to you if he...
Yeah, dead to me if he doesn't. Yes.
Joe Namath dead
if
to you.
If he gets in the way, I mean... I don't know if this is a good thing for Namath, because the second Rodgers puts that jersey on, he's no longer the face of the franchise. I mean, now you got me thinking.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Mike Schur, what do you do with what has been happening recently with the coverage around Aaron Rodgers? Are you also sick of it?
Oh, God, yes. Are you kidding? I was sick of it the second that the Packers season was over. He's such a narcissist, man. I mean, I know these guys are all narcissists. I get it. I've been through this before. We've all been through this before with Favre and with Brady and whatever. But just the look at me, Louie, of this whole thing is just off the charts. Like, he has two options: go to the Jets or go back to Green Bay. Just make a decision and do whatever you're going to do. And by the way, he really only has one option, because Green Bay has made it pretty clear that they kind of don't want him back. They've been a little bit like, they've made statements in the press that you would never make if you expected the guy to come back and if you wanted him back. So he's got one option. And the fact that he still hasn't said anything is insane. Everyone knows he's going there. Just say you're going there. And he just keeps not doing it, because every day he doesn't do it is another day of speculation and articles and people, you know, putting his name in headlines. And it's just so boring, man. No one cares. Get over yourself.
I care.
I don't think that's entirely accurate. I don't think it's no one cares when a free agent quarterback, we love transactions, and a quarterback of this kind is usually not available.
But there's no mystery. There's no mystery. It's not LeBron.
He could retire.
Yeah, great. Then retire. There's two options: retire or go to the Jets. Like, do one or the other thing. I don't believe that the reason he is continuing to wait is because he hasn't made up his mind. It's just because he wants more people to be writing about him and talking about him, which is the definition of narcissism.
What do you think about Quentin Tarantino claiming that this is his final film, The Movie Critic, that he is presently at work on what will be his final film?
I think the Aaron Rodgers is strong in him. That's what I think.
That a boy.
I mean, come on. Look, again, if that's true, great. Then have it be true and don't make such a big deal out of it. But I also don't believe it's true. That guy's a maniac. He loves movies more than everybody else in the world. I don't believe, at whatever age he is, mid, late 50s, something like that, I don't believe that he's going to spend the rest of his life, the next 25, 30, 50 years, whatever it is, hanging out. Like, he's going to make more movies. That's all he likes to do in the world. And also, why? Why not? Why not make more movies? Like, what is his beef? He gets to do whatever he wants. He writes whatever he wants. He shoots whatever he wants. He gets any actor he wants.
He says that filmmakers don't get better at his age, that he's going to be producing crap, that he's going to get worse. A lot of the people here think that he's just going to honor, I'm not making any more films, by segueing into doing stuff for Netflix or just fooling around with episodic stuff instead of making actual films.
Maybe, sure, fine. I mean, if he's worried about making crap in the future, maybe he should go back and watch The Hateful Eight, which was a truly terrible movie.
It was easily
his worst film.
You are insane. It's one of my favorite movies.
I'm a huge Tarantino guy.
It's an excellent movie. I'm with you, Amin.
Excellent.
Excellent movie.
Because it's all based in one room, right? I mean,
I'm not going as far as where Mike went, where he just flat out called it awful.
Well, let Mike defend his opinion.
I'm going to rank Tarantino movies while you guys do that.
He made a huge deal about how he shot that movie in like cinescope ratio, right? Which is like the old West. What does that ratio do for you when you're inside? Literally nothing. The entire movie was inside. Also, he has problems with misogyny in all of his movies for the most part. That was maybe arguably the most misogynistic movie I've ever seen. There's one woman in it. Her face is beaten to a bloody pulp. She's a horrible person, and she gets the crap beaten out of her again, additionally, over the course of the movie, without there being much point to it at all. It's pure prurient violence for violence's sake. And
that's there, all of his movies.
There's
though.
No, the story does not in any way, shape, or form hold the length of that movie. There is not nearly enough interesting story to justify the running time of that film. And there's a lot of stories about how his editor that he worked with for a long time, I believe, passed away, or at least wasn't editing that movie. And you can tell, like, the difference in the vibe and the tension that is usually built, like, his, to me, Inglourious Basterds is a masterful piece of filmmaking. Like, there are 20, 30 minute scenes, chunks of that movie, the opening one with Christoph Waltz in the farmhouse, and then the one in the bar in the standoff, where you're hanging on every, like, it's such wrought, brilliant filmmaking where you're hanging on every second, every line of dialogue, and the tension just builds and builds and builds, and the music is perfect, and the camera movements are perfect, and the editing is perfect, and the acting is perfect. He tried to do the same thing in The Hateful Eight, and it falls completely flat. It just absolutely did not work. Nothing about it was what he wanted it to be. And I just was so irritated at how he was... The opening sequence is cool in that movie because you do get that vista of the snowy landscape, and it's so beautiful, and it's gorgeous. And then the whole movie moves inside. And then that film ratio does zero when you're inside. It's ridiculous to do it that way.
It was.
But defend yourself. I mean,
no. First of all, I think all of his movies are over the top violent on purpose. Regardless of whether you agree with it or don't agree with using that as an artistic tool, it is a constant in all of his movies. He credits Sam Peckinpah for that kind of over-the-top, gory violence with the heads blowing off and all that stuff. I think that, yes, I guess shooting in CinemaScope and being indoors kind of is a waste of CinemaScope, although, as you noted, the beginning of the movie when they're outside and they're in the stagecoach, you get a lot of these great shots. But I thought the ability to tell a story and have that tension build and be so rich and... all be in one room, in a one-room house, was just phenomenal. It reminded me of Fences, right? Like, Fences is shot because it's a play. It's shot basically in the house. And their ability to, without changing the background or trying to stimulate you visually, to hold the story is one of my favorite things. I love Fences as well. But I have a top five.
Let's
Tarantino
do it.
List.
I don't know why. Stugatz, why are you handing me this as they do their film reviews? Why are you handing me a photo of Wilt Chamberlain with a stat line that says 53 points, 32 rebounds, 14 assists, 24 blocks, 11 steals?
That was one game.
But why are you handing
it heavy.
While we're doing the show? Why are
it's
you
the
handing-
anniversary of the only quintuple double in the history of the NBA. That's why I was handing it to you, and I just wanted you to see it. That's all.
By the way,
I mean, it was getting a little wordy, and, you know, I was just handing it to you.
That's not real because they didn't track blocks or steals when Wilt was playing.
He had 24 blocks in the game.
But that's not real. That's not like an official stat.
Okay.
But I was doing something.
Oh, I know. And I was doing something.
Give us number five. Number five Tarantino movie.
Jackie Brown.
Number four.
Hateful Eight.
Number three.
Django Unchained.
Number two.
Inglourious Basterds.
And number one.
We know it. Come on. Pulp Fiction.
How do you feel about that list, Sure, other than The Hateful Eight?
It's garbage.
Thank you for being on with us. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
11 steals.
This Friday, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yeah! The Vandercoys killed my family. Now, I'm going to kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. In theaters Friday. Rated R.
Don Levitard.
Did you guys see Gilbert Arenas' assessment of Zion Williamson?
Agent Zero.
Stugatz.
Did you answer my question there or no? Like,
no.
Okay, very no. good.
This is the Don Levitard Show with the Stugatz.
What is it about food that after we eat it and we talk, we can tell You know what I mean? Like, Amin was just talking. I want Amin. Say some words. Go.
Say some words. Go.
See, I can hear that Amin just got done eating.
Could you? I'm still eating.
But, like, yeah. What's going on? Like, what? So am I. Explain to me the science of why.
You want me to explain science?
Why do I? Why can I tell someone was just eating after, when they talk after they ate?
Because there's food still in their mouth.
Is there, though?
They're like, yes, there's, it's not,
is it
like
maybe there's saliva? Maybe there's just saliva buildup?
It goes off saliva, it does.
And also the morsels. There are morsels in there. Yeah. Like, I can still feel the grit of the potato chip that I was eating still in there.
Ooh, what kind of chips do we have?
I had some sour cream and onion Pringles.
Oh.
Ugh. It's a waste of sour
potential
cream and
sponsor,
onion.
Potential sponsor, I don't know. Pringles, a little overrated.
No.
That's putting it nicely.
Look, I'm not a fan.
The can, get over the can.
Hold on. Tony,
that
I care about
all
you.
Have.
You don't want to get on the bad side of Procter & Gamble, man.
Why is that?
Look, man, I don't want to say too much. You just don't
You've already
want to get
said
on
too
the
much.
Procter is fine, but when you get Gamble in there, that's where the problem's.
I'm gambling again.
Risky.
No, but the sour cream and onion flavored potato chip is my, it's almost like my safety school.
Right.
I wouldn't ever choose it out of the choice of all of them, but like if it's down to that, or plain, I'm going sour cream and onion.
But when you do choose it, there's a definitive one to choose, and that would be Lay's, I think.
Oh, of that flavor.
Of that particular flavor, yes.
Yeah, yeah. I subscribe to that.
Ruffles would like a word. Sour cream and onion Ruffles would like a word.
No, I
with
think
the ridges.
Lay's is better.
It's surprising to me that sour cream and onion, just with any brand, is as popular as it is because the name, it's not a great name. Like anything with onion, like what kid that doesn't know what these, like onion, sour cream and onion chips? I don't know. I just.
There's an age where you learn about onions.
I think little kids, like.
What do you mean? Like, I don't learn about onions.
Well, like, you're like, I don't think funny. Kids know what onions are.
I put onions in the category of.
Like that's a thing kids.
It's like a food item that I don't believe a lot of kids are like, oh, I love onions.
I learned how it tasted from chips, actually.
But does it actually taste like onion?
Kind of.
It doesn't even taste like sour cream.
I was going to say.
It's like weird. I want to get out in front
of
this. I love sour cream and onion chips. This is not me bad-mouthing sour cream and onion chips. It's just, I don't think it could use a better PR agent.
If you put a raw onion into a little bit of sour cream, would it taste like the chip?
No. And that's what I'm saying. I think the name sour cream and onion doesn't taste like the chip sour cream and onion. Right.
What a bizarre question.
Ponder, Smitty.
I think if you grind up an onion, if you grind up an onion and put it in some sour cream.
Right.
Okay.
And then scoop it, I think it'll come close. It won't, I mean, obviously.
How?
I think you have to caramelize the onion.
Right.
I think that's what makes them sweet and tasty. I don't think a raw onion.
Why are you
be more bitter.
This?
Okay.
But I'm with Amin. It eventually has to turn into some sort of powder to like drizzle.
Yeah.
Like to.
Yeah.
So why are there like green flakes on the chip?
Like onion powder?
Right.
Those are the onions.
Exactly.
Those are the onions, so they're green onions.
Green
Those
onions.
Are chives.
But then
Those
they're
are
not
chives. Chives. Yes.
They're
but then it'd be sour cream and chives.
Chive turkey.
No, it's sour cream onion no, you're right, Tony. It wouldn't be
sour cream and onion. It'd be sour cream and chives or sour cream and whatever, but it's not.
I want to go back to the idea that different potato chip companies excel at different types of chips because I'm with Stugatz. I think Lay's has the best sour cream and onion. Ruffles has the best cheddar cheese one.
Oh, the sour cream
sour
and cheddar?
Sour cream and cheddar?
The sour cream and everything,
1,000%.
Ruffles has the best one
Dead
of those.
Dead on, yes.
Yeah. Guys ate up all the sour cream and onion. I'm having a Funyun that's flaming hot.
I love Funyuns.
I like flaming hot things, but I don't like how they flaming hot everything.
No, yeah.
Flaming hot onion rings? I think I'm good.
Don't need that.
So barbecue, where do you go?
Barbecue.
I think it's a Lay's.
Lay's.
I like
Lay's,
a good kettle-cooked barbecue
Ooh,
chip,
like the
though.
Vicky?
Yeah, Miss Vicky's puts out the jalapeno chip.
Can you tell I just ate?
Kettle is the best.
That's their 100%. The jalapeno definitely there.
I thought Cape Cod was like
Cape
the king
Cod's
of the kettle.
Too.
I like Cape Cod too. Miss Vicky knows how to fold a chip.
Now watch this one. Salt and vinegar.
Can you tell I just ate?
I'm out. I'm out on
time more than the first.
Lay's.
Wise.
Wise.
Really?
Wise salt and vinegar. A1. That's the best one out there. Wise though doesn't have as great a distribution across the country. So
can
very,
you tell I just ate?
They have it at Solano's
at the end
here,
there.
Or Winn-Dixie.
What is it called?
They're flaming hot.
Wise. It's got a little owl.
Just the eye.
Owl,
just
owl
the
owl.
Eye. Just the eye watching.
See, it's a very like New York City, East Coast.
Yeah.
Which doesn't make sense.
I like Utz. You like Utz?
Utz is all right. Too thin.
Utz is cool.
It's a little too thin.
Too
for
thin.
Me.
Yeah.
I need a little bit and a little bit of, you know.
Shoestring potato chips, underrated.
Shoestring fries
Agreed.
Are the best.
Yeah.
Underrated.
How about plain?
Plain potato
Lay's?
Chips.
plain kettle, like Cape Cod plain kettle. I like it.
It has to be really crunchy though, to the point where it like hurts my gums to chew it.
It has to have my mouth bleeding.
Original Lay's goes on the sandwich. The turkey sandwich.
Oh, the tuna sandwich.
In the sandwich.
Yeah, in the sandwich.
You open
like,
it
like,
up.
Like I open it up, it's part of the sandwich. Yeah. In the sandwich.
Crumble or no crumble?
Ooh.
You
get the
crumble crumbled. Already, crumbled.
You get the crumble bite, when you bite the chip.
When I bite it, right, it crumbles the chip.
So you put the like the whole chip on it.
Just put a little, I'd say four or five. A little handful.
Do I sound like I'm eating?
You can hear it at the end.
Yeah, I could definitely hear it.
How do we feel about salt and vinegar?
I'm out.
Love salt. Lays.
I'm out on salt and vinegar.
I think it's the most polarizing chip.
Yeah.
It's a great chip.
People hate it or they love it.
Terrible chip.
It's a great chip.
Nobody's just indifferent about salt and vinegar.
Put vinegar on anything for me.
Yeah.
I'm with it. Vinegar makes everything better.
I used to actually put vinegar on everything, like French fries.
Vinegar on fries.
Love
terrific.
Vinegar on fries?
That's a British thing.
Five Guys. Five Guys, baby. You go in there, they have that.
I get the Cajun joints. I get the Cajun ones.
The Cajun ones, and then put some vinegar on it.
Mm.
But not too much, because you don't want to get soggy. You want like just a little drizzle, and then eat. And then a little drizzle, and then eat. That's
I like how Five Guys gives
like
you the extra fries, too.
Not that
the bag fries?
Yeah, the bag fries.
But you're working to not sound like...
That's the point.
But I was just saying, when you're in your natural state, and you're not trying to sound like you're not eating, it just happens.
I love when the Five Guys bag gets so greasy that the fries just fall through it.
I thought you were going to say when you can see through the bag.
Yeah, that's good. Translucent bag is always.
Oh my God, give me all that grease. I don't understand people who say they don't like Five Guys. I'm like, how? How? Who hurt you?
I don't like Five Guys that I'm looking at right now.
Oh, hey.
It's all right.
Hey-o. Where do you go for cheese doodles? Like, do you go thick? Do you go thin?
There's only one answer, right? Like, you go cheese doodles. Like the.
Yeah, but I like the puffy ones.
You don't like the
ones?
Those are cheese puffs.
Yeah. Cheetos?
Yeah, Cheetos.
Really?
Yeah.
You're not a Chester guy?
No.
Chester's hot fries are excellent, by the way.
Doesn't Costco have the best cheese puff in a barrel?
Oh, yeah.
You buy it by the literal barrel?
It's the same size
55-gallon drum.
As that
pretzel.
Peanut butter pretzel.
Me and Amin destroy those, by the way.
Oh, man. Don't bring them around here. Me and Tony going to town.
I just had like six of them.
Why do we say go to town?
Because like it's like going out on the town.
Because if I'm going to town on this burger, it means I'm just like...
You're housing it. Why do we call it housing it?
But when I go into town, I don't go crazy.
Well, why is it called housing it? Why do we house it?
You're
housing that burger.
When you go into Plantation, you're not going...
Right, that's right. What I mean. I was like, right. I don't know. I
got a quick question for Jessica.
A fair question.
Jessica, you walked into the studio, you saw everyone with their shirt off. What did you think?
I did like the Homer Simpson's dad, did the little loop, walked right back out. Oh, yeah.
Grab the hat, put it back on.
Yep.
I thought you were saying the Homer Simpson where he backpedals into the bush.
Also could have worked.
That one could have worked too.
Like right out of the doorway.
Oh,
yeah.
Man. Speaking of which, my dad had a story.
But what'd you think?
My dad, our neighbor has like an orange tree. And so my dad will routinely, when the oranges fall, he'll just grab them and like, yeah, like it's community oranges at that point. So he said every once in a while, if there's one still on the vine and it's kind of like, hanging out, like, yeah, I might grab it. So the other day, he goes and he's like, oh, let me see what's up with the oranges. And just as he approaches the tree, he sees our neighbor actually like tending to it.
And the tree hanging in your yard though at all?
Stooges hate.
The
I did. Turkey.
The oranges fall on our yard. So, like, the tree.
Fair game.
Yeah, it's absolutely fair game. Mm-hmm. Once it hits the
orange
floor,
didn't fall far.
That's an inside joke.
And not
was
a
it
good
just
one.
A bad one?
Come on! I liked it.
Oh, come on!
Deserved a better fate.
I wish they had been part of
that
it.
That guy probably has more oranges than he can keep up with,
exactly.
Right? So I don't think there's any harm in sneaking the ones that land on your lawn.
Once they hit the floor, it's fair game. Because if vermin can get to them, I can get to them too.
Wow.
You know, you got like squirrels and stuff, and you see like their teeth eat
Tony,
through like mangoes and stuff.
What if they hit his floor, though?
But they roll.
Hold on. What if it's still on the vine?
It's depends.
His.
Depends
it's
on his. How close it is to your yard.
It's crossed the bound. It's,
oh,
the,
it's yours.
The invisible plane has been crossed.
It's yours.
So it's
like
in the
goal
air
line.
On the vine, but it's in your yard technically.
Yes, it's hanging.
It's your,
high.
I'm picking
it's
your orange. Yes.
Yeah,
that's yours.
That's all right.
Yeah.
I'll let my dad know. You're good. You didn't have to tiptoe around that.
I saw a TikTok where this guy went to this tropical fruit farm in Homestead, and you can go and walk around, but the only fruit you can take is fruit that's already fallen off the trees. And they had all these different rare types of tropical fruit that you can only get in like this one place. And I haven't even heard of half of these things. But he just walked around and ate like 20 pieces of fruit in an hour. It was crazy.
What kind of fruit?
Things that I couldn't even tell you what they're called.
Like lychees and stuff like that?
No.
Lychees.
I've heard of that.
I thought they were lychees.
These things $2. Only grow in like super tropical locations.
Like dragon fruit?
No, I've dragon heard of dragon fruit also.
A jackfruit?
Actually, there was dragon fruit there, but they weren't in season. So
it looks like it's
one.
From Pandora.
Dragon fruit, I heard, does things to you.
Like?
Oh, yeah, like, I saw a TikTok about that too. Apparently, it has a ton of fiber, and if you eat a dragon fruit all at once, Mike, actually,
Mike,
maybe not a bad idea.
You should
for
get
you.
Some dragon
I've
fruit.
I've been pretty regular lately, as you know.
Dude, the chat has saved his life.
Yeah.
It was He's
the,
so good
the
now.
Altitude from Salt Lake City.
No, it's
really.
The chat.
You've
it's
been a new
chat.
Man since. You got into the chat, it seems like. It seems like the chat's helped. No, I'm with Amin. The chat's done this to you.
Yeah,
not-
but it's hard to notice when people aren't going. But I feel like, given my baggage, and I put the poop emoji in there, you guys are really happy for me. And you're noticing my poops a little bit more.
Your support group. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it.
Potty training?
I love when you poop more than when I poop.
Yeah, I
when
feel
I
it.
See that Mike's pooped,
the support
the day when he had like two or three.
Yeah,
in the
I was
same
so happy.
Day,
I was so
and
happy.
Like, did you drink beer last night? He's like, no, I didn't even have anything to drink.
And
like,
we were like, yes,
wow.
Mike.
Yeah, it was well, such a I great mean, day.
It took what took most people one took me three, but I got there. So, and to have people, what? You know, pick me up when I fall down, it's really important to me. So thank you. It's one of the most uplifting things that's going in my life right now is the shit support group.
I also like how we sometimes sink. Where everyone's taking a dump at the same time, and you just see those poop emojis come one after another, like all within like a 5 minute
We've
span.
We've like, this chat has made us all poop around the same time.
Yeah.
I'm jealous.
I couldn't add you, but are you going to tell us every time you poop?
You gotta.
Probably not.
Did you guys
no,
have
he's
all
gonna
your.
He's going to say he will, and then he won't.
Yeah. Did you guys have all your poop questions answered when you first started the chat? Because I have a few questions, but I don't want it to be redundant.
No. It's an educational and an uplifting place. It's a safe
no judgment
place.
Zone.
Yeah.
All right.
You want to save it for the chat or do you want to do it on air?
Well, I want to ask Brad a question.
I think they're the same size. Like, I think his poops are normal size.
Look,
you guys don't send pics, right?
Don't say normal.
You guys don't send pics, right?
This is what I'm going to say.
Do you send pictures?
Yeah. Can you?
No.
Can you,
no,
not
no,
yet.
No.
Are you being honest?
We're not opposed to it.
I'm
not opposed to it. But
has a shit picture ever been sent in the
no
chat?
Shit pictures. No pictures.
Stu, I don't know if I believe that.
No pictures.
No, we haven't crossed that threshold. And I fear that if once we do, there's no going back. And I think everyone's keenly aware of that.
Then it becomes inappropriate.
Yeah, then you don't want pictures of shit showing up on your phone.
That's where you draw the line.
I've got enough of that in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Do you?
It's a long story. But back to Brad.
All right, so
no, has anyone asked?
No, but I know they're regular. You know how I know? Because I have a 9-year-old who dumps.
Oh, dude, I have a 3-year-old that sometimes has like just insane logs.
Like
just like have I told like her? Cynthia calls me in another room. She's like, "Take a look at this."
Look at
I'm
this.
Like, "Holy shit!" Quite literally.
My daughter is still at the stage where she's calling me in to help her wipe sometimes. Mm-hmm. So like when she like we high five. I'm like, look at you.
But there are some times I'm just
thing.
Like, how?
That
how?
Came out of you. Yeah. We high five. It's great.
There are times I'm like, that must have hurt.
Did I tell you guys the story about the one that clogged my toilet?
No, go on. Put it in the chat, man.
What a great day.
Dude, I'm telling you. So
I'm serious.
Can we let Jess in the chat?
No.
Because I just want to know, like, if.
Yeah. No.
Why? If girls poop?
Yeah.
So I'm
sad.
About to Homer Simpson out of this this podcast.
Mike, take your shirt off.
But what did you think?
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Don Levitard.
Take a mental picture.
Okay.
I take a mental picture by blinking.
Yeah, that, so I blink. Just did that.
Okay, great.
Stugatz.
So you've taken a mental picture. Now.
You should make a noise, too.
Did you get it?
Yeah.
This is the Don Levitard Show with the Stugatz.
Chris Cody, as this news breaks right in front of us, just had the reaction that I had, which is he said to Stugatz, after the news broke, Aaron Rodgers said on the Pat McAfee show he is going to be the best Jets quarterback ever. He didn't say that. He just said he was going to the Jets, and he's going to be the best Jets quarterback
he
ever.
He is the best Jets quarterback ever.
But Chris Cody,
before he takes a snap.
Chris Cody said correctly, I think, viewing how tired you just generally look, tired of Aaron Rodgers and just tired of life.
Mm-hmm.
I thought you'd be happier.
Yep, so did I. I mean, I really did. I think I wanted it to go a little bit longer than it actually did.
Oh,
I enjoyed being the center of attention, you know? I mean, now the Jets are off the headlines. No one's talking about them. I mean,
that's it. It's gone.
Where's Bakhtiari?
It still hasn't happened yet. He is dragging it on. He didn't say, I'm going to play for the Jets. He's like, well, this is happening, but I intend to play for the Jets.
Intent
so now we get a whole
word.
Other week of this.
The reports,
it's not over.
The reports earlier in the week were that all the details were done. It was just on Aaron. Aaron is saying the exact opposite, that he told them a few days ago or a week ago, whenever, I'm good to play for the Jets, and now it's just the semantics of the deal. So I don't know what to believe here.
Well, I'll tell you what to believe. Aaron's not telling the truth. The compensation's been worked out. You don't go this far along the road without, okay, now the teams have to come to a deal. The deal comes first between the teams, which is why the Jets felt pretty confident internally that this was going to happen. And now they're just trying to negotiate deals with and adhere to the wish list that Aaron Rodgers put before them and fit everybody in the cap.
Has Schefter said it yet?
Schefter got a picture.
Yeah, Schefter. Look, he's it would be unlike anything we've ever seen in football, and you couldn't put it past Aaron Rodgers to nuke it because he loves the attention, but everything has been so far along for such a long time that it
pre-darkness.
It's pretty,
if you're claiming it was pre-darkness, he claims that he went into the darkness 90% retired, 10% gonna play. And at that time, now I'm just saying this is what he said on McAfee, and
the
that
darkness helped.
And then he had an open door from the Packers, and that when he got out of the darkness, he was more like, all right, I'm gonna play. And then the Packers' tone changed. That's what Aaron's saying.
Yeah, well, the tone changed because they had worked out a deal with the Jets, and I'll believe Aaron Rodgers there. He could have been 90% retired at that time. But
it's an intention to play for the Jets,
the two teams,
is what he said.
It didn't stop the two teams from discussing a deal.
I don't like that word, Stu.
Intention.
He intends to.
That's why I'm not nearly as excited. Even though we're extending it out, the story is still alive. Schefter is even tweeting out, he intends to play for the Jets. But he's not saying done deal Aaron Rodgers to the Jets. Well, I need that.
Because formally it's not a done deal because there are certain things that need to get worked out for the rest of the cap.
And he knows both of those tweets will crush.
Yep.
I can tweet it out that he's like basically doing it and that tweet will crush. And then I can tweet out that it officially happened. Two tweets for the price of one.
Mm.
It's never going to be over.
I don't know what you guys are doing.
I'm good with that.
You don't think Adam Schefter cares about the numbers of his Photoshop
season? What I'm saying is we got the news. He said it in his voice. Like, you could question him, say he's a liar, and do all the things. But
he said he intends to play for the Jets.
It's happening. Like, I don't want to keep questioning it. If he comes out of the darkness and publicly says it on McAfee, that should put an end to it. I mean, there is paperwork involved. There's bureaucracy involved. But
let me tell you what puts an end to these stories. An Adam Schefter tweets. That doesn't say intend.
Stugatz.
It's on the Jets.
Done deal.
Stugatz, he's saying it's on the Jets at this point. If it doesn't happen, it's not his fault. He said he's down.
It's fine that you can say,
I intend to work out later.
He said he's down.
You want.
It's Mercedes Lewis. I mean, Bakhtiari, Mercedes Lewis, he intends. If they sign those guys, Odell Beckham, then Aaron Rodgers will be a Jet. I mean, nothing's changed.
I intend to get home in only 15 minutes today.
Stugatz was intent on leaving.
Hell yeah, it was already gone.
I grabbed him by the backpack.
Dan told me I could leave.
I'm like, no. The segment that we've been waiting 2 weeks for, it's going down. Nah, he's like, yeah, he says intense. I'm not so sure. I'll see you tomorrow. I'm like, get over here.
No.
He's like, Dan told me I could leave. I'm like, wait, we finally had the segment.
The gift that I
and
want.
Why is Dan telling you to leave?
The gift, I don't know. The gift that I want is Adam Schefter's tweet. That's the gift. That seals everything.
He intends to tweet it.
I believe Schefter more than I believe Aaron Rodgers.
Stu, I have the tweet here, and this was from like 20 minutes ago. He said, now the Jets are expected to have their most high-profile number 12 since Joe Namath, and it's a Photoshop of Aaron Rodgers in a number 12 jersey for the Jets.
He looks great.
It's a good tweet.
But intends. Expected.
Expected.
Right. I don't like those words.
Stugatz, just celebrate it. Stop. What are you doing?
No, it's Woj during draft night.
It's going to be week one, and Stugatz is like, I'm still not buying it till I see him run out on that field.
Chris, why would I celebrate something? It's not done yet. I mean, I can't. 40 years I've been waiting for a day like today, and all I get is I intend. I expect. I need confirmation. That's it.
When
I need him to say I'm a Jet.
When he said that he was returning to the Packers, he went 2 weeks without signing the deal, finally. And it was reported like he was returning to the Jets. He did the hard part. He just broke up with the Packers. That was the hard part.
I can't do this the way that
And now Trey Wingo is celebrating, and he should.
No, I should. I got it right first. The super followers, they knew. Super follow at Michael Ryan Ruiz. Less than a cup of coffee.
I intend to follow you.
When you're obsessing about the word intends and ignoring that they're giving tens of millions of dollars to Alan Lazard and the quarterback himself just said publicly, a quarterback who really can't take a lot more credibility hits, that he is expecting all of the details here to work out so that the best quarterback you've ever had in a uniform is going to play for the New York Jets. You really shouldn't be hung up on a verb choice of intends. This is as exciting as the New York Jets have been from a free agent prospect in the history of this franchise.
Dan, I trust Aaron Rodgers. I believe that he wants to play for the Jets. It's the organization that I don't trust. I've been a fan of this organization for 40 years. They botch things. If Aaron has a wish list that hasn't been met yet, then I still have trepidation. I have doubt until they actually do it.
If he didn't say that it was dependent on his wish list. He said it was dependent on the two teams working things out, which, again, they've worked that
out. I'm okay living in this space, though, for a second, of if, after what Aaron just said on that interview with Pat McAfee, if it blows up and doesn't happen, oh, God, please
It's Mercedes Lewis. Right. They don't get him. And they're like, I can't do it. That's it.
Like, you can't.
You guys don't know my organization.
He's afraid of getting laughed at.
We're capable of screwing this
please
up.
Please let Zach Wilson start week one. Please.
You mentioned that Aaron Rodgers can't take another hit to his credibility. I think by saying he intends to play for the New York Jets, he just did. Pablo Torre tweeted out an observation that I hadn't considered. He's going to play for Woody Johnson. Woody Johnson, Jess. Where do they get their money?
I've heard of a Johnson and another Johnson.
Johnson and Johnson.
Johnson and Johnson.
Johnson and Johnson.
Heard of two Johnsons.
I put something of theirs in my body 2 years ago.
Hell yeah.
That's not hell yeah worthy. He's talking about pharmaceuticals.
Oh, I was saying a butt plug.
Same Johnson, huh?
They make those too.
You are really
couple of Johnsons cutting it up.
You are really scarred. If you can't,
I am scarred.
But I mean, just unreasonably scarred. You've got post-traumatic.
You've been sitting next to me for half of my Jet fandom life. Like, you've seen what this organization is capable of.
Stugatz, if LeBron James does the decision, and because the papers hadn't been signed, LeBron James did the decision on television, and they had not yet made it official.
Right.
If you don't meet the announcement that you have a quarterback, him saying publicly, professing, I am ready to go to that laughing stock. If you don't meet that with enthusiasm, it is a little unusual.
But if LeBron said, I intend to bring my talents to South Beach, but doesn't actually say it, Are we doing a rant the next day? Are we celebrating the way we celebrated? Yes. I intend to do it.
Stugatz, this is this can be derailed by paperwork, but you've been
and the Jets.
You've been so scarred by being laughed at as a fan that you're still afraid. You're allowing the fear of the laughter to get in the way of what should be genuine enthusiasm right now, because your team has hope and sizzle.
Dude, it's not every day you can celebrate acquiring the 17th rated passer in the NFL last season.
If they had him last season as the 17th rated passer, they would have
intended to be higher.
AFC Championship game. I mean,
they would have been much better if they had Aaron Rodgers.
Congratulations on having the third highest rated passer in the state of New York.
Well, Mike Schur, thank you. Mike Schur said to us earlier in the show that last year was the best year any Jet quarterback has ever had. So I'm just not there yet. I don't know what you want from me. You want me to celebrate something, but I know my organization, and I haven't heard the right words. And
intended for you to be happier.
Like, what is Jets Twitter saying? What are they doing?
Bears Twitter is dancing in the streets right now. Bears group chat, they could not be happier.
I intended to look at the passer rating rankings and see that Aaron Rodgers was ahead of Ryan Tannehill, but that's not what I saw.
So with the Jets, we did.
What are the Bears celebrating, Jessica?
They have tremendous upside in their division now with a young quarterback that might be the best.
Watch out,
the best
Lions
in the division. I mean, Kirk Cousins, controversial.
Oh, Kirk too. I forgot about Kirk.
Like, don't you think the Jets would be celebrating, like, on their Twitter, on their socials? Like, don't you think they would be doing? You want me to celebrate something my organization is not?
I mean, I want you to be.
I want to celebrate too.
I want you to be excited. Like, what?
It's the third highest rated passer in the NFC North. Why wouldn't you be excited?
I did not think that he was going to say anything on McAfee. He said something on McAfee. He said as much as he could on McAfee. Correct? Like, he's offering the Jets fan base the kind of hope that will sell tickets. I'm assuming your lack of enthusiasm is not the same as your fan base's. I'm assuming that today's in his voice news will sell tickets.
I don't know. I mean, Mikey T sent me a text. He's a Jet fan of mine, a Jet friend.
And from your home, right?
Yeah, he's kicked out of my house for being such an obnoxious Jet fan.
Your wife has banned him. Not the friendship entirely.
She doesn't intend him to come back.
Yes, but he said, can he just say yes? Not intend, not, you know, can he just say I'm a New York Jet, and he hasn't said it yet.
Because according to him, he doesn't control what's left. It's just up to the teams to figure out the compensation.
You think he doesn't have control? I mean, you're adorable.
They worked out the compensation. The Jets tweeted out eye emojis and added the Pat McAfee show.
I don't like that.
What is that?
That's a celebration.
They're not doing that if they don't have a deal.
No,
Stugatz, honestly,
no.
Mike's
if they
right.
have a deal, they're tweeting the deal. No, they're tweeting not. A little meme.
No, they're
this guys. This is the king of wordplay. Yeah. I'm skeptical of everything he says. It's probably going to happen. That being said, but
I think this trade is inoculated.
I don't intend to have an answer by the end of the day.
This trade is fully inoculated.
He said immunized.
How many Mikeys are texting Stugatz right now? There's a Mikey T. There's a Mikey A for sure coming up.
There's a Mikey R saying, get your ass back in the studio.
Mikey Golick.
This Friday, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yeah! The Vandercoys killed my family. Now, I'm going to kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. In theaters Friday. Rated R.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.